Your Bibles are going to start in the book of Proverbs again, and I'll be reading out of Proverbs. You can listen along, and I'll be going a little bit out of Proverbs tonight, and but I'll start there and be mostly there. We've been doing lessons on wisdom, and tonight's message is on not missing correction and chastisement. Chastisement is discipline, not missing God's discipline or God's correction in your life. And I want to go real specifically in one direction on this lesson. And wisdom is talking, but wisdom is speaks for itself here. God made wisdom, and wisdom dwelt in the beginning with God, Proverbs 8 tells us, I think verse 22. And wisdom is not wrong. Wisdom is just truth and life and what's right and what's going to happen and what's best. That's wisdom. And wisdom speaks the truths of God. Wisdom is never deceived. Wisdom is always what it is. It's just stating facts of life and what happened and what happens in certain situations. So wisdom is speaking here and personified as a woman. It speaks as a woman speaking to us. In verse 23, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I've heard so many preachers preaching that verse and say it's the Holy Spirit. It's not. It's a spirit of wisdom. Proverbs 1 and verse 23. I said 8:22 is where Proverbs where it says that it was with God at the beginning. Proverbs 1:22 is where we are. Proverbs 1:23. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will make pour out my spirit unto you, the spirit of wisdom, and I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have said it not all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I will also laugh at your calamity, and I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, when your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distresses and anguish cometh upon you. One of the things about life that scares me from making foolish decisions, and I think you ought to be afraid of foolish decisions, and one of the things that keeps me from it is one of the things I've seen is right here that Proverbs teaches. Is I've seen God forgives, but life consequences go on. So you make a foolish mistake, and you think, well, I'll just confess it to God. And you know what? God's merciful, and if you're saved, he'll forgive you, and it'll be gone. But it doesn't mean wisdom's still going to let the things happen to you. And the wisdom says, if you go out and overdose on drugs, and you come out of it and say, God, I'm sorry, and I shouldn't have taken the drugs, praise the Lord, God will forgive you. But if you have brain damage, you'll have brain damage. Okay, that's a consequence. If you go out and you get drunk and drive and kill somebody in a car accident, you confess it to God, your car doesn't straighten out, they don't come back to life. Your legal problems aren't over. Now with God, he's merciful, he can forgive you. But wisdom says if you do foolish things, bad things are going to happen. And don't expect it to not happen bad. Don't expect that you're going to get out of it. If you are foolish, foolish things happen, even though God will forgive you, even though people who love you forgive you, even though people involved may forgive you. It doesn't mean there's not consequences. And there are consequences to actions. And that's just the rules of life and wisdom and sowing and reaping. And so so he says, verse 26, I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation. This is not God. This is wisdom speaking. And your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distresses and anguish cometh upon you. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For they hated knowledge. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. All right, let's pray and we'll talk about not missing correction and chastisement. Lord, thank you for the word. Lord, sometimes it's hard, sometimes it's comforting, sometimes it's joyful, and sometimes it's convicting. And we thank you for your word and all that it does. I pray tonight that the Spirit would speak to us and give us what you have for us tonight. Help us to see the truth of this. Help us to see ourselves. Either at things we could do or things we have done or things we shouldn't do, but help us to have a practical lesson and be transformed. And some of us have our lives completely changed in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't expect things to go right when you do wrong. That's just something you should expect. A lot of people hope for the best. They hope they're lucky, but I could say, you know, I've got a 1 in 6 chance when if I have one bolt in the chamber and pull the trigger at my head, I have 5 out of 6 chance that it's not going to shoot me. I'd rather not put it to my head and have a 0% chance of it shooting, not shooting me, of it shooting me. And don't do foolish things and expect good things to happen. You live a foolish life, then you're gonna, the way of a transgressor is hard. And he says a couple things here. Wisdom is speaking and talks about, you won't listen to me when I'm reproving you, when I'm rebuking you, when I'm correcting you. I'm saying, don't do that. And then eventually you keep on down the road when you've been corrected and get disciplined, and I reproved you and didn't listen. And eventually you get in big, big trouble because there's some periods of, okay, here's a mistake. You make a mistake when you're 6 and you still, the other kid in class is sucker. Okay, you might get in trouble. You shouldn't do it. But if you don't learn from that, and you don't get it, then you're 12 and you're still a little bit more, and you're 15, you're 16. And you know what? You're 16, and I've dealt with kids who've done it. 16-year-olds, you got charged a juvenile, and I can tell you this, juvenile is a slap on the wrist. You've got to be really bad before they really put you in for any period of time in juvenile. I've been shocked. I knew one kid who was in all kinds of trouble and drug trouble. He was 15. He failed 6 UAs in a row, urine analysis, and they still would not lock him up after all that. And all of a sudden you go 16 or 17, you get away with it. And all of a sudden 18, they steal something. Now they get in trouble. And maybe the first time they get away with it. But if they haven't learned yet, eventually what's going to happen is they're going to get in big trouble, or something really bad is going to happen, or they're going to rob the wrong person. But the consequences get bigger. And if they didn't, and that's why, how many of you, when you were a kid, you, let's say, did something bad, like stole something from a store, and your parents took you back to the store. Anybody ever had that happen? Your mean old parents drug you back to that store and made you face your consequences. You know what foolish parents do? Let's not tell anybody. And guess what? They had no consequences. They didn't learn it. If your kids, and I mean your three-year-old steals a Tootsie Roll and sticks it in his pocket. Take little Johnny down to the manager. They're not going to haul Johnny away, don't worry. And take little Johnny there and say, Johnny, tell him what you did. I stole the Tootsie Roll. And make him do it, and the man will look at him and say, that's very bad, Johnny. And then Johnny cries, says, oh. And then you take Johnny home and say, Johnny, that Tootsie Roll costs 25 cents. I'm going to make you do the clean this up to earn that 25 cents. Then I'm going to take the 25 cents back to the man at the store. And then hopefully he learns when it's easy. Because Johnny thinks that's devastating then, but prison's devastating. That's not devastating. They think it is. Everything that happens to your whole life you think is devastating until you have real big things happen. Then you said, that wasn't devastating. Can I swap problems with that again? And that's what happens. So you learn that. But people wouldn't listen to correction and rebuke in the process. Verse 23, turn you at my reproof, and you'll be fine. I'll pour out my spirit unto you. But reproof means I'm correcting you. I will make known my words unto you. And then verse 25, but ye would set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. Verse 30, ye would none of my counsel. They despise all my reproof. Reproof is correction. The Lord corrects us and rebukes us and disciplines us when we are wrong. We're supposed to receive it. Verse 5, a wise man will hear and will increase learning. A man of understanding shall attain to wise counsel. Someone once said, the only total mistake is one you don't learn from. The only total mistake is one you do not learn from. And you're going to learn. You're going to have bad things. You're going to make mistakes. And hopefully, life's rebukes and little things you shouldn't have done that catch on. Maybe you weren't being a good worker and they write you up. Okay? Hopefully, you learn from that. Because next time, you're in more trouble. And the next time, you're probably fired. And then it's harder to find a job. Things snowball and get worse. And so you receive it in life. You receive instruction. Proverbs chapter 5. Let's give you a few verses here about receiving instruction. And then we'll get especially into discipline from God. Verse 8. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house, lest thou give thine honor unto strangers, and thy years unto the cruel. Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. And thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy blood are consumed, and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof? I hated instruction and despised reproof. and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to those that instructed me. In the end, he says, you're going to say, why didn't I listen to them? They told me this is bad. They told me this wasn't good. And that's the end of that, when you don't listen and turn when you're corrected. Chapter 9 and verse 8. Reprove not a scorner. Proverbs 9:8, lest he hate thee, rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to wise men, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase learning. And so we see we're supposed to change and learn. We're all going to make mistakes, and those mistakes are going to come back on us and cause consequences. Or somebody who loves us is going to tell us, don't do that. A parent, in this case, in many spots, and especially in Proverbs, a parent's going to come and tell you that. The Lord's going to tell you that. And you're going to either say, okay. You can learn by the reproof of life. Something bad happens to you when you do it. You can learn by instruction of other people, humans, your parents, your teachers, whoever. You can learn by instruction from God. And God speaks to you and tells you what to do. But when you ignore correction by good corrective things, when you ignore those things, in the end, it is so much more consequential and so much worse. And the devastation of not listening and being corrected is so much bigger than the adjusting of fixing your mistake that you did. The adjusting is the fine tuning. But if you go and the light comes on and you get out and say, you know what, I'm low on oil, and you don't stop and take the 5 minutes to go and put the oil in your car, and you drive down the road and your engine blows, it was $3 for or $4 for a quart of oil, and now it's $1,500 for an engine rebuild. And so you get the correction and you realize, okay, I made a mistake. I didn't put enough oil in here. I wasn't checking enough. Okay, I'm going to fix it. And maybe even your engine's got a little bit of damage, a little bit of, you know, little lines in the cylinders, and a little more wear than it should have had for a minute there. But your engine isn't blown. But if you don't put some oil in it, then it does. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 17. Proverbs 10:17. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth. He that refuseth reproof erreth. And then chapter 15, Proverbs 15, and I'm going to read verse 5. It says, a fool despises his father's instruction, and he that regardeth reproof, that's correcting you, is prudent. Verse 10 says, correct is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way. Correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way. And he that hateth reproof shall die. So again, it's very hard. And if you don't want to do right, it's grievous for someone to tell you you're wrong. And I want to say, you're wrong sometimes. I'm wrong sometimes. And when someone tells you you're wrong, it's usually because you don't care if you're wrong. You want to do it anyway. And if you want to do something bad enough, you will talk yourself into it's okay to do it. Doesn't matter what you want to do. If you want to do it bad enough, you will talk yourself into it's okay, no matter how many wise people tell you it's wrong, no matter how much you know that I probably shouldn't do this, somewhere way back in the back of your mind, if you're not strong enough to deny your own will when you know something's foolish, you're going to end up doing it, and nobody will stop you. And afterwards, you're going to kick yourself, but I've been at this long enough with people long enough that I just know that when people decide they're going to do something, I am not. If I cannot give them enough wisdom and truth. I could stack up the case. I could do charts. I could do illustrations. I could have somebody who's in the same thing come and tell. It will not matter. If they want to do it, they're going to do it. And God gives us a free will. But free will also brings your consequences. And so, but it says if you err from the way, you're going to hate correction. Why? Because you want to do it anyway. And I always say, if you're in any decision where you can't say, no, I'm not going to do this, then you're wrong. Paul said, I will not be brought under the power of any. And if you can't either do this or not do this, it's wrong. Because you've got to be yielded to God where you can do anyway. Anyway, anything God leads you, you got to be yielded to God. But he that errs from the way of God, he hates correction because he doesn't want to hear. I don't want to hear it. Okay. And by the way, the Bible says don't rebuke that person. When somebody says, I don't want to hear it, I'm not going to listen anyway. Then you say, all right. And they say, I know what you're going to say. I just don't want to hear it. And you say, okay. So, nice weather. Seahawks played good Sunday. Why? Because the Bible says you get yourself a blot and they'll hate you. They're not going to listen anyway. Don't argue. Don't argue with the wall. Okay? You're not going to win. Just go ahead. And then what they'll usually do is they'll try to convince themselves by convincing you. The one thing you don't understand about this is this. And they're going to say all kinds of dumb things that aren't true. And they're going to be the exception to every rule. And you say, okay. I'm not talking about it when they won't listen. And they can talk about it to me all day and tell me why. And I'll say, all right. Hey, I love you. If it didn't work out, come talk to me. And that's because they don't want to be corrected. His verse says here, correction is grievous unto him that hath forsaken the way. And he that hated reproof shall die. And then one verse I really want to focus on, the verse at the very center of this, is Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 11. Proverbs 3:11. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. Chastening would be the modern word for spanking. Okay? Don't despise when God is disciplining you and spanking you. Neither be weary of his correction, for whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. Even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. One of the things that I've tried to do better on and better on and better on is discipline and love, not anger. And kids can make you angry. And people can make you angry. But you never discipline because you're mad. You discipline because you love them and want them to learn. Otherwise, you'll discipline wrong. And you discipline, and I believe in spanking, but we discipline and we spank because of love. Because there's consequences to life, and then you learn consequences. Because God says to do it that way. And it says, the Lord, if he loves you, he disciplines you. Anybody who lets their kids do whatever they want, that's not love. They're going to grow up ruining their lives. Kids need to learn that they can't do everything they want, and they got to deny themselves sometimes. And it says, if you do not despise it when God corrects you and God does it. Why? Because God's motivations are good. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Whom the Lord loveth, he disciplines. And he spanks us. And he says, whack, spanks our bottom, spanks our life, and says, stop that. Why? Because he loves us. And he sees that the road down there is bad. He sees that we're going to drive off a cliff if he doesn't grab a steering wheel from us. If he doesn't yell at us and say, quit driving on this road. And so the Lord disciplines us because he loves us. And do not despise God's discipline in your life. Because he wants to discipline you. And wisdom is saying a couple things. We've read the word correction. We've read the word rebuke. We've read the word reproof. See, God starts off by speaking to us. And says, do not do that. That's why the book of Proverbs is there. It's saying, don't do these things. And that's good, because don't get upset if somebody does something you have not told them not to do. They've got to be instructed. And then he reproves us. He corrects us. He rebukes us. That's him telling us what he's already told us, and now saying, don't do that. That's bad. That's wrong. You're going to be punished. Bad things will happen. So first there's instruction, and then there's rebuking and reproving and correction. And he says, stop that. And he tells us what to do. And he says, these are going to things are going to happen. And it's a warning of consequences. And he does that. However, in the end, there's discipline. There's correction. And so we've been warned, basically. Here's the rules. Here's the consequences. And now we start to do it. And God disciplines us. But understand, discipline is not your life being ruined. Discipline is the stopping you before you ruin your life by making you feel pain for something that's going to destroy you. I want you to follow that. Don't despise it because God puts you through hard times, because God lets you suffer when you're doing wrong. Do not despise that because it is stopping you from something that will ultimately destroy you. That kid I talked about, okay? I told you about this young man, 15 years old. They wouldn't lock him up. And I talked to his probation officer. And I said, why isn't he locked up? And I said, well, he's a nice kid, and we're trying to give him another chance. I said, he doesn't know consequences. I know his mom and dad. He never gets consequences. He needs to be locked up. The next thing that happened to him was he was arrested driving a stolen car at 15 with drugs and a gun in the car. I went to his mom and dad. They said, you won't believe what happened. I said, what? They said, so-and-so got arrested. I said, did they lock him up? They said, yes, he's locked up this time. He might really serve time. I said, what'd he do? They said, well, the police said that he had drugs and a gun in the car, and he resisted arrest. I said, what'd they arrest him for? I said, driving a stolen car. They said, well, we think they planted the gun and the drugs on him, and we think they just beat him up and said he resisted arrest. I said, has he ever lied to you before? Oh, he lies to us all the time. Is it possible that maybe he did have he was driving a stolen car at 15, right? Well, yeah. He's failed 6 UAs in a row, right? Yeah. Is it possible he had drugs on him and the police didn't just pull him out of their pocket and drop it next to him? He got locked up. Last time I heard, the drug dealers were all trying to kill him because he's robbing drug dealers at 18. And nowhere was he getting consequences. By the way, he was in for about a month and a half for what he just did, what I just told you he did. And he was out again. Why? If anywhere, he would have got scared or said, this is a bad life, or somebody had taken him to prison and said, let me talk to some people who've already been down your path. Come meet Bubba. Somewhere along the way, he got a discipline from somebody. His parents would have taken him over their knee, which they never did, when he was 7. It might not have happened. By the way, mom and dad were in a lot of trouble too. So God is not disciplining us. He's not spanking us because he hates us. He's saying, I've reproved you. You've not listened. I'm going to chasten you. I'm going to spank you. I told you not to do this, and it's against me, and I'm God, and you shouldn't go against me. But this is also a terrible end of your life and a terrible way of living, and it's empty and unsatisfying. I want to draw you back to me. I'm going to discipline you and discipline you because you didn't listen to my words. But I'm not killing you, destroying you, ruining you. I'm hurting you, yes, but it's temporary hurt to keep you from destroying yourself. And that's what I do because I love you. And that's what we want to do. We want to do it because we love them. And the Lord tells us when he's disciplining us. Watch how God starts warning his people. Book of Jeremiah, let me take you there. God warns his people. And you know, if you kind of know the Old Testament in big picture terms, you kind of see how God did this. He gave them the law, and then they started breaking the law, and then he sent prophets to them. And then they started killing his prophets. And then he started sending nations in discipline. The prophets were not disciplined. The prophets were rebuking them and saying, look what you're doing. You're worshiping idols. And then he sent in other kings and would put them in a bad situation, let them be oppressed for a while, and says, if you don't stop this, you're eventually going to be scattered and destroyed as a nation. And they wouldn't listen to those prophets. And then the nation would come in and destroy them for a while. And it was discipline of God. And they'd cry out to God. But then many times they went back, and eventually God had to let them go and be destroyed as they wanted, as they kept on trying to have happen. Jeremiah chapter 2, just watch how God's warning them. In chapter 2 and verse 30, in vain have I smitten your children, they receive no correction. Your own sword hath devoured your prophets like a destroying lion. O generation, see the word of the Lord. I talked to you and you just didn't listen. I let you suffer. You didn't listen. I disciplined you and you didn't learn from it. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 9. Shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord? And shall not my soul be avenged for such a nation as this? So God's saying, you know, I've warned you. I've told you these things. I've warned you. I've sent your prophets. And he says, you've not listened to anything I said, and now bad things are going to happen. Now you're going to get to the end, and now terrible things are going to happen. The Lord sent prophets to discipline them, in first of all. I want to go to the New Testament for a sec here. Philippians chapter 3. So the Lord's going to tell you about discipline. Now, a couple we'll read Philippians 3 in just a sec here. Let me give you two different groups of people, and most of us end up making a mistake. I fall into one of these too. First of all, some people think the Lord is trying to correct them when they are not under the discipline of God. Some people think the Lord is trying to correct them when they are not under the discipline of God. So, the Bible says, when you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. God forgives you. When you go to God and say, Lord, I'm sorry for this sin. But the devil tells you God's still after you. And let's just say, just in life, all of a sudden you suddenly start getting arthritis in your knee. And you're 55 years old. And you start getting arthritis in your knee. And you've confessed to God all your sins, and you're serving the Lord. And God's not convicting you about anything, but you think, oh no, God must be just punishing me. God might not be punishing you. You're in a body that wears out. Now, if you are being punished, the Lord tells you why. A bad parent is walk up and say, hi, Johnny. Whack, 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 whack. All right, see you later. I mean, that's not what a good parent does. A good parent says, Johnny, we need to go talk. And let me tell you what you did. And our Heavenly Father is a good parent. And He will come to you, and He has His word that tells you what it is. I just know in my life, when God speaks to me and tells me, hey, buddy, you're messing up, the Holy Spirit inside of me reveals it to me. I know why that happened. The Holy Spirit tells me why. I mean, this happens, then I say, why is this happening? God says, this. I mean, I know it. God's revealing it to me. In Philippians chapter 3, so some people think, well, I'm under the discipline of God, and this is why this is happening. But they're not under the discipline of God. You confess it to God, it is gone. Washed away, cleansed from all unrighteousness as far as the east is from the west. That's Satan tell you that God couldn't forgive you. Philippians chapter 3, verse 15. Let us therefore, as many of you as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this unto you. So, I've got this terrible temper, and I hate dogs, and every day I walk out and walk around my neighborhood at night, and I go find every dog I can, and I kick it, and I kick everybody's dog. And all of a sudden, boy, I go out to my car one day, and I go to start my car, and my engine is blown, and it won't start. And immediately God says, you've been kicking dogs, and you haven't confessed it, and you haven't admitted the owners, and you killed the one dog, you kicked it so hard, and why are y'all smiling at that? Some of you are morbid. And so you did that. And God immediately God says, it's because of this. And I know why it is. God told me. I didn't change it. I didn't confess it to Him. I didn't repent of it. It's just still right there in my mind. Maybe I haven't done anything wrong. I went out the other night and my battery in my car died. Can you believe that? Battery prices have gone up. Yeah. That's right. It's possums. And but I my battery died. And you know batteries cost $100 now? I looked at my battery and I said, ooh, 3-year free replacement. I bought a really good battery for my car, but it's been more than 3 years. And I thought, where's my receipt? And I looked at the fine print, this is how cheap I am. I wiped off everything in the battery and I saw 108 month limited warranty. I get on the phone, I bought it at Walmart, and I call Walmart, and I say, hey, I got this battery. It's past a 3-year warranty thing. It's sitting on the side, made in August 2008. And I said, I got this battery, and it's dead. And she says, "What? How many year free replacement?" I said, 3. How long's it been? It's been at least 4. Sorry, it's not there. I said, they told me they prorate these things, and it says 108-month limited warranty. And he said, well, I don't know if we can do anything about that. You have a receipt? No, I don't have the receipt. I said, but it says 108, and it says Walmart on it. So off I go into Walmart, and I talk to the manager, and she's, all right, tell you what you're going to do. We're going to give you $50 off for prorating your battery. See how good it is to be cheap? And so I went through all that, and I got that. But you know what? My battery died, and nothing came to mind. Because batteries eventually die. God wasn't disciplining me for anything. I had quit kicking dogs weeks before. And God wasn't disciplining me for anything. But I might have that happen, and God might. But God, Philippians 3:15, It says, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if any of the thing ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this unto you. God's able to reveal to us things. His Holy Spirit will reprove the world of sin and righteousness of judgment. The Holy Spirit speaks to us. Listen, you will know when God's speaking to you and when you're doing something wrong. And if it's your inability to believe in God's ability to forgive you, that's an issue, because you got to believe that God's grace is more powerful than your sin. And if you confess it and repented of your sin, and you just don't believe it's gone, then that's the issue, not whether God's disciplining you or not. God's able to forgive you if you're saved and you confess it to him. He can wash you as white as snow, the Bible says. So some people think they're under the discipline of God when it's just bad things happen. You're going to die someday and all those things. But other people think they are not under the discipline of God when they are. Look at 2 Chronicles, and this will be probably the last passage we'll take you to. 2 Chronicles. You want to make sure that when God is spanking us, we know God is spanking us, and we know and we deal with it, because he's not doing it because he hates us, but because he loves us. 2 Chronicles 28, because he loves us. And so understand, some people think that God's disciplined, and I hate that. Why did God make this happen to me? Well, I don't know if he did or not. Is there anything that God's speaking to you about? Not really. You sure you're saved? Yeah. You confess everything up to God? Yeah, I'm fine. So then, you know what? Could be 1,000 different things. Could be just a natural result. Could be Satan's attacking you, like Job. We don't know. But if God's disciplining you, he reveals it. He sends prophets to say, don't do those things. And so, God speaks to them. Watch this story in Proverbs chapter 20. Or I'm sorry, 2 Chronicles chapter 28. This is Ahaz. And Ahaz was 25 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem, but did not that which is right in the sight of the Lord, like David his father. And he walked in the ways of the king of Israel and made molten images for Balaam. And he burnt incense in the valley of the son of Hinnom and burnt his children in the fire after the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord had cast out them. And he sacrificed burnt incense. He was doing wicked things. He was burning his children alive to a false god named Molech and serving idols and just doing wickedly, wickedly, wickedly. And God, as his word had said, I'm going to send discipline upon you. Verse 5, wherefore, because of this, the Lord delivered him into the hand of the king of Syria. And they smote him and carried away a great multitude of them captives and brought them to Damascus. And he was delivered under the hand of the king of Israel. He was the king of Judah, who smote him with a great slaughter. So God sends his discipline in from them. And so these bad things happened to him. Why? Because that was done. Because he did that bad. And then he was delivered because God was just disciplining him. And he goes and he's let to survive and go back to his country. And then, well, the enemies of God had sent these heathens in to go take him over. In verse 21, for Ahaz took away the portion out of the house of the Lord and out of the house of the king and out of the princes and gave it to the king of Assyria, but he helped them not. So he goes, he brought, verse 19, he brought Judah low because of Ahaz and made bad things happen. So what does Ahaz do? Ahaz, instead of saying, God is disciplining me, and that's why I'm having destruction, I'm doing terrible things, the Bible says this, the prophets have come, we've not listened to them. God, instead of saying, God is disciplining me, let me return to the Lord, you know what he does? He says, these heathen people who've come in must have a real God because they're conquering us, so I'm going to worship their gods. Verse 22, in the time of distress did he trespass yet more against the Lord. This is that King Ahaz. And he offered unto the gods of Damascus, which smote him. For he said, because the gods of the king of Syria helped them, therefore will I sacrifice to them, that they may help me. But they were the ruin of him and of all Israel's. And he gathered all the vessels of the house of God and cut them in pieces, the vessels of the house of God, and shut up the doors of the house of God and made him altars in every corner of Jerusalem. And he did all these wicked things and provoked anger in verse 25, the Lord God, and eventually, guess what? Destruction. This is a man who didn't know he's under the discipline of God. And he didn't realize that he was. And sometimes I've listened to people and I've seen just the results of sin. And they start blaming God. I mean, the dumbest one I've ever heard that I've heard many times is some girl goes outside of marriage and has sex, and then she goes, why did God give me this kid? Okay. There's certain acts that come before a kid. Okay. And I've seen people overdose and their family said, why did God allow them to overdose? Why did God do this to our family? Listen, if you jump off a cliff, say, why did God make gravity work? I mean, bad things happen. And sometimes somebody does wrong and they're getting rebuked and their leaders are telling them, their parents, their pastor, whoever loves them, their good Christian friends, and they keep on doing wrong. And then in the end, they get bitter at God. Say, there must not be a God, because if there was a God, these things would be happening to me. I want to say, some people are under the discipline of God, but it's because he loves them, but they aren't listening. And it's much easier, because God's doing it because he loves us. When God's tapping your heart, eventually your heart will get hard and you won't hear his tap anymore. And then you'll do wrong and bad things will happen. You won't even know why after a while, because you didn't listen and your heart became calloused. You got to listen. You got to change. You got to say, Lord, you're speaking to me because you love me. Now, rebuke doesn't always sound like love, but it is. Because he wants to keep you from further destruction. So there's a great wisdom in our lives that we listen to God and say, why? God is speaking to me. I better listen to his telling me. That's why when God speaks you in a sermon, it's not, ha! God's trying to make you miserable. No, God's speaking to you because he wants to bless you and wants you to do well. And don't always blame, this is a discipline of God in my life, if God's not telling you it's something and your heart is right. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Let's make sure that we have the wisdom to let God correct us, because he loves us, and he wants to make us right, and he knows the danger of not serving him, and the joy in the abundant life when we are serving him. Let's bow for prayer. Father, help us have wisdom about the chastisement and discipline and rebuke of God. Lord, we want to understand what you're saying to us. We want to make sure we respond to it. We want to hear your voice. We want to just listen to your word and just do what it says. But then sometimes you start convicting us. Help us not think that if when you're speaking to us and you're telling us to change or stop this or do this or make sure we get busy doing what we're supposed to be doing or whatever you're speaking to us about, help us understand that that rebuke might be followed by a spanking. But if we don't follow the spanking, we might have real disaster. And help us have wisdom to be corrected and to be straightened out and to do what we ought to do and to listen to your voice. We pray this in Jesus' name. Heads about our eyes.